What up, folks? Get Out the Room is back. Get Out the Room, episode 93. Get Out the Room. We are generally a horror and pop culture podcast, but as of late, horror has been taking a little backseat to comic books, as comic books have been ruling all of everything, roughly everything. They've eaten up all the money since Black Panther, and then Infinity, and now Deadpool too. So they're eating it all up. So you're gonna get more of that, but you also gonna get a little bit of horror from us tonight. I am your host, Day, and as always, got my people with me. Scott, what's going on?
Ah, man, I'm ready. I'm not mad about the comic books taking center stage, but at the same time, it kind of makes me shed a tear for that old school Get Out the Room horror goodness.
We shouldn't shed a tear; it'll come back. And the greatest American hero, Tone. What's good, brother?
Man, I'm still crashing in the walls from 93 till, baby.
Well, you know the remake is about to come back out, so we's going to
see it. Shut your cotton-picking mouth. There's no way they're making a remake of that.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Who's your girl from New Girl?
No, please tell me it's not Zoe.
No, not Zoe. The other one.
Thank God. The Indian girl?
I was hoping we didn't say that.
I don't know her name. I'm just
clearly, motherfucker.
I've only seen like three episodes, so.
So yeah, well, she I believe is the sidekick in the new one. I believe like the first season is already finished. So.
What?
Yeah.
What is this on?
I want to say got picked up by ABC or CBS, probably ABC.
Yeah. I need to get. Yes, all right.
Yeah, but just to let everybody know, there will be horror talk. But first, we're just going to hop right into this DP2, Deadpool 2. It is, I don't necessarily know if it's better than the first one, because I feel like it's a different film. But it might be funnier. I enjoy it.
I mean, they definitely tried to make it funnier.
I was like hysterically laughing at certain points.
Oh, no. I don't mean that to put it down. I mean, they took what worked in the first one and ran in that direction.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, I think that's safe to say.
I thought it was really good. Yeah, Scott, go ahead. Set it up.
So in this one, we pick up in Deadpool fashion. Of course, Deadpool kind of navigates us through some time jumping at first, but the film opens. We're spoiling this thing, right? I mean, we've been spoiling Infinity War and Black Panther, and I mean, right? We're going to spoilers too. Yes, no, maybe so.
Yeah. It's opening weekend.
Yeah, and typically when we like a joint, we try not to spoil it.
Yeah.
I'm not feeling very spoilerific right now, honestly.
I'm not feeling super spoilerific on this one, just because I don't feel like it's going to have the same reach as Infinity War or Black Panther.
Right. Right.
Like, there's still an opportunity for a lot of people to see this one. So I want to pull back from some of the spoilers.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. So how do you set this up then to start? I mean, the opening scene technically is a spoiler, right?
He blew himself up.
Not really.
I'm talking the opening setup scene.
Yeah, yeah, no, we're not gonna spoil that. So I'll do it. I'll do it for you. Check it out.
Okay. All
right. our favorite neighborhood Deadpool is feeling kind of low. He's not himself, and He's in a really, and this is kind of apropos that you'll see at some point. He is playing very much like Wolverine. Very much like Wolverine in that he's kind of cursing his powers. He's cursing who he is. And we go on a really good trip of redemption, so to speak, and recognition that, maybe these powers aren't so bad, and that this person that we know of can be redeemed in some way, shape, or form. We meet some incredible characters along the way, one of which is ZZ Beats, who plays Nina, a.k.a. Domino. She's fantastic. The inclusion of X-Force was really, really great. Really, really great. Really, they did well. I was really excited about the way they did that. I will say, though, I think Josh Brolin was right. Thanos is way, way, way better than Cable.
I don't even think that's debatable.
Yeah, I agree.
Go ahead. Get into it.
I mean, that's not to say, I mean, I don't want to jump in right with that comparison. I almost feel like that's unfair because Cable's actually, I thought they pulled Cable off really well in Deadpool 2. He's really the last big X-Men character that we really haven't seen on screen yet, I guess. I mean, I can't think of any of the other really big characters that haven't popped up yet. Cable's really the last one, and it's funny that it took however many films, 11 or 12 X-Men movies, to get to it. I thought they pulled him off really well. I thought Josh Brolin pulled off a look. I thought his powers worked well on screen. They touched on the time travel. They touched on some of the newer stuff with Cable from the comics. They touched on a lot of the older stuff. He had a good back and forth with Deadpool. It was kind of like almost like a buddy cop, you know, one's grim and gritty and one's the crazy nutcase. And it worked really well. Now, in comparison to Thanos, I mean, no, he's not as interesting as Thanos. I mean, Thanos had depth that was given through, his depth really grew through Infinity War. I was going to say since 2012, but that's inaccurate. I don't know. I feel like it's kind of unfair. Obviously, Thanos is better. The Infinity War is a little better than Deadpool 2. Well, not a little. It's better than Deadpool 2. But to compare it is kind of taken away from, you know, Cable was really well. I mean, did you guys like Cable?
Go ahead, Tom.
Frankly, I found the character a little boring. And I've never really been a huge fan of Cable. I've never really, like, I don't even really understand him, to be quite honest. Like, what exactly is his power set? Is he a mutant? Is he a cyborg?
He's a telekinetic, a telepath, and a technokinetic.
Okay, I got
so here's the thing.
I didn't see any telekinesis going on at all.
Well, he can't because of technovirus.
They didn't really get into a lot of that in the movie. Really, you only got the kind of enhanced strength and the techno stuff.
They kind of did, just because like the moment where he's looking in the mirror and you're seeing that the technovirus is literally eating him up. But right. Because of that, he can't really use a telekinesis. So that part, yes. He's offspring of Cyclops and Madeline Pryor, correct?
Yes, from the future.
Yes, future. The Jean Grey clone.
I knew he was Scott's son, and that describes why he's such a prick.
Well, no. The reason why he's such a prick is because he grew up in the Age of Apocalypse. So he's from a separate timeline where the world is not good.
I mean,
well, okay, I remember that.
I'm pushing up my nerd glasses here.
Actually,
Apocalypse is he came from like the world Cable came from is a future that, quite honestly, they haven't really explored a ton of in the comic books outside of Cable coming back from the future from it. You know, like the Age of Apocalypse, I guess when I hear Age of Apocalypse, I hear the one that where Xavier's dead and Magneto's leading the X-Men and Apocalypse has his own team, you know, like that had its own thing.
But this is supposed to be the
world is actually a different character.
Yeah, but this is supposed to be the age where Bishop is there too, and they branded all the mutants with the M.
Is this the same timeline?
The Bishop M stuff is also that's an even different future.
That's a different Age of Apocalypse.
Well, it's a no. It's just a different dystopian future. There is no Age of Apocalypse. Bishop came from a world where they branded the mutants with the M. That's why he has that. It's like a deep tissue tattoo that can't be removed. And that's a like a different timeline. The one thing that why people give X-Men a lot of shit is all of the really complicated time travel shit. There's a lot of dystopian futures. There's a ton of them. And, you know, like Old Man Logan is one. Bishop's future is one. Cable's future is one. Rachel Summers' future is another. The Age of Apocalypse is one. I mean, they all are different futures. None of them, and they interact with each other when the characters cross paths, but they're all different storylines. And so Bishop comes from a future that has nothing to do with where Cable came from and nothing to do with the Age of Apocalypse. It's essentially just Bishop's future where the M's came from. It's very complicated.
So I'm about to tell you to go ahead with all that bullshit.
I wasn't going to say it like that, but yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's only so much you can kind of go with. I understand that like Cable is one of the probably one of the most divisive comic book characters too, because his history is so complicated and it's hard to sell that. I mean, you can't have introduce him in Deadpool 2 and then just start going in on, oh, by the way, this is Cyclops' son who is older than him from a future that Apocalypse destroyed. And that's one of the reasons why he came back in time and, you know, comic book wise. And it's hard to sell that and to explain it. So you kind of have to morph the character a little bit. You know, I grew up in the 90s reading X-Men and X-Force. So seeing X-Force and particularly Cable and Domino and Deadpool even on screen is just kind of it's kind of a treat, you know, because X-Force and Cable are at the same time, they're exciting. They're stupid. It's a little bit of everything. You know, I mean, Cable embraces the 90s better than any character that has ever existed. I mean, look at any picture of him. This guy carries guns as big as him. He's got pouches around his thighs. He's got, you know what I mean? I mean, he embodies that time period of oversaturation to, I mean, he's like a walking oversaturation. That's what his character is. But at the same time, I feel as though he also has stood the test of time because he's terribly interesting. And it's kind of a complicated, I get not liking him, but I also get, you know, the fans of Cable too. So he's very, very complicated.
I think too complicated.
Yes. And that's fair. And that's fair.
You know, to some extent, lazy writing of like, well, we like to put him here. Let's put him here. You know, there's fucking Strife.
Strike was just you know, you got to remember that Rob Liefeld is responsible for Deadpool, Cable, X-Force, Strife, and a lot of the 90s shit that catches a lot of heat. And Strife was kind of ridiculous. That's part of the Cable that's kind of ridiculous and stupid.
Part of, yeah.
Yes.
The depowered Cable, I think, is a little bit more fun. He's a lot like Hannibal from the A-Team. Like, I think that's really fucking cool. His relationship with Hope, I think, is very cool. There are aspects of it that I really like. But to a large extent, I've never understood Dude's popularity. Particularly because I really disliked the art from the time period of which he was created.
Yeah, and that a lot of people do.
You know, I can't read a lot of those books where, you know,
the art has not aged well.
No, I didn't like it then, though. That's the thing.
Oh, okay. See, I grew up right there, so I have a soft spot for that type of art.
Yeah, I don't.
I understand.
I don't. You know, and I'm looking, I know. Like, I understand. So when because I tried to work through those Deadpool and Cable books, and I'm just like, good God,
it's hard. It's hard. It is hard. I know. I've going back to reread them is difficult.
Yeah. I'm not a fan. But I'll tell you this though. You know, I think there is, and this is probably Ryan Reynolds' greatest gift. He made sure that you know that this is his film, and he wears Deadpool like a glove he can pull off and put on at any given point in time. Like everything he's done before this has been basically training to become Deadpool. Van Wilder, you know, all of like
Waiting, baby.
Seriously. Great movie. Waiting's very funny, especially if you've ever
I love that movie.
If you've ever worked in food, like like that shit touches you in a really special place.
Absolutely.
Like a really special place. Yep. But like all the stuff that he's ever done has been working up to this, and he's so fucking good at it. But he's quite generous with allowing some of the other people to get real big laughs off, and you know, the ability to have a little bit of presence. Like, it's his film. Like, let's not get it fucked up. It's his film. But he I think they recognized early that Domino was going to be the standout character. And she's good.
She was, by the way, she was phenomenal. Like, she charming was as fuck. Just good. Super well-developed. Well, I won't say well-developed, but well-realized. I was very
I like that, too. Yeah, yeah, I agree with that. Yep.
And well, their relationship the where they kind of showed really off good.
Her power set too. Like, it's hard to describe Domino's.
It was perfect.
It was perfect. Absolutely agree. Absolutely agree. And you know, this is one of those. I'm gonna, you know, I could rant about this too. I remember when they cast Beats in the role. You know, a lot of the fans were kind of in arms about it. And I got to be honest, I was kind of pissed off about it. Look. Domino is one of the characters that has never blatantly been called out in the comics as one way or the other. I mean, anything. That's exactly my point. It doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you looked at the list of actresses that were testing for Domino, it would they were looking at white, black, Asian,
Latino, Latin,
looking everywhere, and they should have, because there's not one person that Domino's ever been called one way or the other. People that you can look at some art makes her look like she's the white and black painted Caucasian. Some of it makes her look like she's a white and black painted African-American. Some
and
of it
others, makes her she look looks very Asian.
So it I never understood, because the first image when they released with that, it basically just looks like I forgot her first name. Zazie Beetz.
Yeah, Zazie Beetz, yeah.
Right.
With that first image of her with the afro, people were just laying on her. I'm like, man, it looks great. I mean, that's Domino. I was like, it's just Domino. Honestly, I like her in Atlanta quite a bit, so as maybe I'm biased. But
as you should.
Yeah, she's fantastic in it.
Yeah. She is fantastic. Yes, she's fantastic in that.
Yes.
Like, yeah, I hope this leads to larger things for her. You know.
Me too, because she's, and you know, it's funny because in Atlanta, she plays a very particular kind of character. You know, she kind of plays to a degree the sitcom wife. You know.
Yeah.
And she has so much more to do in this film, and she is so damn charming. Like, look, I want to see her in something. You know,
I really enjoy watching her play this particular character, because if you've ever read any of those books, she captured Domino really, really well. There's one part where she sees some danger and she's like, nope.
That's pretty good. Yep.
And in my mind, I was like, yeah, that's Nina. And it's like, yeah.
They just launched a brand new Domino comic, too.
Didn't they try that once before?
They did, but this one's boding well, because it's being written by Gail Simone, who wrote a lot of Harley Quinn. She wrote a lot of Secret Six for DC. She's actually a really good comic book writer, and I haven't read the comic yet. It's on my list to check out, but I suspect that it's going to be the best Domino that we can possibly get in comic book form. I mean, after watching the movie, I'm more interested to see how you can pull off that power set.
No, you guys were absolutely right. They demonstrated her power set perfectly.
Yep.
And like the most way to get it.
Yeah. And I really think that there's a lot of ways they could go with that. I mean, did you guys ever watch that BBC series, Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency or something like that.
I know exactly what show you're talking. I was super interested in it and never caught it.
You know what? It works. It Domino's power set and her, like, just thinking about her backstory reminds me very much of the show. You should watch it. It's actually, it's pretty good. But I could see them doing something like that. It just, I'm all for it. Like, anything they want to do with Domino, I'm all for it. Like, I find the character extremely compelling. I think it's going to be, I think it could be really cool.
Yeah, cool. I agree.
Yeah.
And her history in the comics is also fairly complicated. And when she first popped up in New Mutants and then X-Force, that was not really her. The story goes that the Vanessa from Deadpool, that character in the comics is a character called Copycat. She's a mutant that can change into other people. She's kind of like Mystique. And when Domino was first introduced, they killed her right away. And it was revealed that it was actually Copycat.
Yeah.
And that Domino was really like being held. I think it had to do with Strife. I don't remember exactly, but she was being held captive somewhere and they had to go rescue her. So her proper introduction is a little later into X-Force. So the Domino you see early on is not really her.
Yeah, because she's a failed super soldier.
Yeah, she's got it. This is another one because it came from the same kind of cut from the same cloth where Cable came from, which is why characters like her and Shatterstar, for example, they're so complicated and people lob a lot of hate at them because they're all grouped together. Their histories are just.
Yeah. Would you please explain to me Shatterstar? Because I didn't read X-Force. It didn't interest me. And they obviously gave him nothing to do. I have a feeling that he wasn't a particularly cared for character.
No, he's not. So
unceremonious end.
If any of the original X-Force characters are getting the most hate, or the character with the most hate is him. I mean, if you look at the designs for him, he's another character that really embodies that time period, maybe more so, sometimes even more so than Cable.
Yeah, he doesn't translate.
He's very, very complicated. He is not a mutant. He is from a alternate dimension where Mojo came from, the big fat yellow guy in the spider wheelchair.
Yeah, he actually is an alien that is physically better than humans. So that little speech is true.
Yes, and it's he uses swords, and his swords sometimes have, you know, multiple blades on the same handle, and he wears headgear that's very dated, and
absolutely right. He really is a 90s kind of person.
There's a reason why Tony just said he feels like the character's not very liked. Absolutely correct. He's among, and really the X-Force characters they used in this movie, all of them kind of fit that bill. They took someone from each group of X-Force, you know, like the character that Terry Crews played. Bedlam is a very, very, very minor character in the books. Yeah. Now, he's kind of cool, though. He's got some cool powers, but they never explored him in the comics very well. And then you got the guy that Pennywise played. And that guy, in the very first issue that he was introduced of X-Force, he died with the rest of the team.
Wow.
Like the
Pennywise? Which one was Pennywise?
Bill Skarsgård.
The guy that played the acid vomit guy?
Yeah.
That's Pennywise.
That's Pennywise?
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I was just thinking of him as the cat from that horrible Netflix show that we watched.
Oh, shit.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. With the girl, the giant
Hemlock
girl.
Grove.
Yeah,
Hemlock
that's Grove. Hemlock Grove.
Yes, it's that guy too. But I'm choosing to not think of that, and I'm choosing to think of him as Pennywise.
Yo, is Skarsgård like Smith in?
No,
Scandinavia.
No,
these cats related.
They're related. Alexander Skarsgård is his brother, and Stellan Skarsgård is his father.
Yes.
Gotcha.
So the dude that's in Thor, that's his pops.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Makes more sense. I mean, he's a young. He's young. He's only born 1990.
Yeah, no, he's obviously a young cat.
Yep. But the character he played is like, you know, so they, you know, they got these like recognizable guys, Terry Crews, Bill Skarsgård. I mean, they're recognizable actors playing these really fucking minor characters. I mean,
I like that though. That was cool.
Yeah, well, I mean, especially because
like the throwaway scene where they show the rest of the X-Men in that one room and they quickly close the door so that they can't see them. Like that was cute.
Yeah, it's a good nod to. I don't know. It's a good nod to the franchise. Look, the timeline in X-Men comics is extremely complicated, so I'll buy it to a degree in the movies as well, to a degree.
Well, realistically, there shouldn't be anything to buy into. This is current. All of those motherfuckers look older. They're aged appropriately. It should be fine.
I yes, but it's just kind of – that's one of the reasons why when Deadpool points out that, you know, I mean, notice every scene that he's in the X-Mansion – literally, it's just him Colossus and that next Sonic girl. That's it. I'm like, there's no one. Fuck. Like, where are all the fucking kids? Where are like the, you know what I mean?
Yep.
That's very obviously done, you know, to make a point. But it's also really funny. Oh, and just for, you know, for our dear listeners, you know, if you thought that Deadpool broke the fourth wall in the first one, there is no fourth wall.
I was going to say, he lives with us. He lives with us in this film.
Yeah, this watching this film is like, you might as well be watching this on the couch with Ryan Reynolds while he's narrating it to you. Like, there's no separation between the audience and the actual theater. It is a weird but fun experience.
Yeah, and I also love Brianna Hildebrand as Negasonic. They didn't give her a ton to do this time out, but
not as much.
I enjoy her, and there's a couple of people in this film where you're not really sure who they are within the X-Men universe, and you know they don't necessarily become explained.
Right.
I don't want to give too much more away, so I'm gonna stop there. But I'll just say, not the main villain, but kind of the secondary villain. Fantastically done. Really, really cool. Man,
it's hard not to speak on that because, look, I'm an X-Men fan, and seeing that was really fucking cool.
I'm confused.
Y'all talking about the big heavy? The big, big heavy. Okay.
But it's secondary, though. But just like
he is a secondary villain, yes. I just needed to.
Yeah. But like,
that's what I was like to figure out.
But Ryan Reynolds at one point points it out. He says, big CGI fight coming. I thought that shit was fantastic.
It was good. I don't feel they were true to the character, not completely true to the character.
Mm-hmm.
But I did enjoy it. It was nice to see my man Colossus. This is not a spoiler. He's in all these films. The Colossus get down.
Yep.
I don't really feel that was well matched. I also was curious as to why they showed him powered up the whole damn time. Like, they're making it seem like for those of us who, you know, for people who aren't familiar with the comics, they might think that that's what he really looks like, but it's not. It's a state he takes on when he's getting ready to do battle.
Yeah.
I thought more money to show him like that all the time. Like, why not show him regular a couple scenes?
Yep.
I thought that a few times when Deadpool went back to the mansion and Colossus is just like reading a book on the bed as Colossus.
Yep. Completely powered up, weighing somewhere around. What's he weigh when he's powered up? 800 pounds or something like that?
Yeah, it's
2,000 pounds. There is not a bed in the fucking world that's going to support his ass. Like, come on now.
Well, on top of the fact that, you know, as a regular person, he's what, 6'6", 6'8"?
Yeah, he's a humongous man.
But he goes to 8 feet when he turns into Colossus?
It's insane.
Yeah, that's a weird one. I looked at it and I recognize it, but I'm just like, we just going to go lazy? I don't know.
Yeah, and they made a couple of jokes about lazy writing. which was cute. But it just yeah, I just didn't get it. You know, I just didn't get it at all.
Yeah, no, I understand that. But they got him right though.
Oh, absolutely. That is Colossus. Yeah. Like, I don't know who's playing this cat.
It's like five different. There's one mocap. There's one voice. There's one. There's like a few different mocaps. There's a facial cap. There's a mocap body, and yeah, there's a voice. Like, there's three or four different people that bring him to life.
Yep. Yep.
But it works. I mean, I gotta say, I mean, they've been able to nail, you know, either the look or the feel of certain characters in these X-Men movies, and they've nailed Colossus in these Deadpool films. And it's kind of a treat knowing that you're going to get at least one X-Men character outside of, you know, if you're considering Deadpool an X-Men character, but an X-Man that is being pulled off really, really well. And they managed to do that.
Yeah. So he is 6'7" in regular form, and he's like 7'7" when he's Colossus.
Right. I'm looking at it. It says his weight is at least doubled.
Yeah. But
they don't really give his weight, so I'm not really sure what that means. But nonetheless, this is a giant man. This is a ginormous man.
Yeah.
It's insane to me that he would be walking around like that all the damn time.
Or riding in a car.
Well, exactly. It just makes no fucking sense.
Yeah, like I let it cook because, you know, we're going to let it cook. But good God. Yeah, I'll say this also, you know, before we get into slashes. It's a fun movie. It's funny. It's they're exploring the reaches of the Marvel Galaxy that they currently can before they're off limits. And, you know, I hope that if we're not going to get a Deadpool movie, let's just hope that we get more X-Force movies. Slashes.
Yes.
All right, I'll go first.
Problematic Bay, what's up?
I gotta be honest, man. This was just so much dumb fun. It just bypassed a lot of my critical shit. First instinct, I'm gonna give it an 8 out of 10. It's just dumb fun.
It's just pure enjoyability, right?
Yeah, this is a straight up popcorn flick, man. I mean, if it's gonna make you feel better, go do it on a matinee. I did. I paid $5 for my ticket. Get you a big bag of popcorn, have a Coke and a smile, and just have fun, man.
Yeah. I agree. Scott.
I'm gonna go 8.5. I really enjoyed it. It's gonna be one that I rewatch. I kind of like the first Deadpool. It's not as good as the first Deadpool. That being said, it's kind of amazing in general, the way that these comic book movies have been so damn good. I mean, you hear this comic book movie fatigue. I haven't felt that at all. I mean,
wait a minute, Scott. I'm terribly sorry because we never do this during the slashes. People write me hate mail because I should get it for this. But it's not as good as the first Deadpool, for real?
No,
I want to know what you found better. And I'm not. Please don't. I'm not trying to be mean, but like I'm curious. Like, what do you feel was lacking?
It was. I enjoyed the first Deadpool better. I like the introduction of Deadpool in that one. I like the introduction of Colossus in that one. I like the exploration kind of into the Weapon X a little bit. I like the introduction to the world. I like the introduction to the populace seeing how good a character Deadpool is. Ryan Reynolds spent a long time getting that movie pieced together, and quite frankly, it worked really, really well. This one, my issues were more. I mean, I'm giving issues on a movie I just gave an 8.5. It's more nitpicks. I didn't care much for the way they chose the main villain of the film. I had wished they'd gone a different direction with maybe the character they chose for the person to play. Again, that's I feel nitpicky because I didn't hate the villain. I hated the character the villain was based on and felt that was a missed opportunity. It's kind of like Logan. I really loved Logan, but the X-24 character in Logan was a weak fucking pick. Like, why not make that character Sabretooth? You know what I mean? And I don't understand why they didn't just go that extra route in that particular sense. And that's kind of how I felt with this character as well. And I think it would have been an easy route to go with a more obvious pick or someone that's more interesting to a comic book fan as opposed to who they went with. I'm trying not to give, anything away here, but I felt that was and speaking of another little nitpick, something that bothered me, we were talking about that secondary villain, how they end the secondary villain battle was also something that kind of irked me as well. I understand we're in a Deadpool movie, but I don't know. I didn't care for that either. Again, I'm nitpicking, but I don't know. I would recommend, I think it's a good 1-2 punch, but I like the first one better.
Fair enough.
Yeah, okay. The first one is a little bit more straightforward. I understand. Like, you don't have to really go outside of the story. You see it. You know what it is. You don't have to take any leaps. It's right there in front of you. It's possibly more well plotted out than this one. This one takes a couple of roundabouts to get to where you know it's going, and that's okay.
Yeah.
I think it's still a lot of fun. I think it's probably an 8, which is super high for me because y'all know I don't like shit. But I mean, I'm not as problematic Bay over here. But you know,
okay.
Yeah, I'm very lax, or I shouldn't say that. I'm the opposite of lax. I don't give out, slashes the way I say Scott does or others do. I'm generally real stingy with mine, but I think it's a very fun movie. Again, shout out to Ryan Reynolds and the writing team. They got it right, man. They got it right.
Yo, how involved do you think Ryan is in the writing? Because God, it just,
he's part
it
of
just
it.
Feels like him.
There's three of them.
I mean,
there's three of them.
He's in the production seat now too. So
yeah, there's three of them. So the writing team, there's like two screenwriters and him. And they basically go through this whole thing of, what would Deadpool do? Like, okay, so how do we get here? All right, how do you get us to this next piece? And
well, those guys wrote the first one, and then they co-wrote the second one with Ryan Reynolds.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it feels like, I swear to God, like this motherfucker just wakes up Deadpool. It feels like Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
Even to the point that
he's a throwaway character.
There's a couple of throwaway scenes in the movie where they reference him directly, and you're like, it's almost not even breaking the fourth wall because the characters are synonymous at this point.
I agree.
You know? It's, yes. I really.
I
really
don't know.
He's perfectly cast.
Cast himself. Don't know if there's a singular actor who has fallen into a role that plays to their strengths as much as this.
So well.
I don't know if there's ever been an actor.
Well, Robert Downey Jr. is pretty much Tony Stark.
So, yeah. Okay. I can understand that. But
and
I think...
I would say outside of physical appearance, Hugh Jackman is Wolverine. Outside of physical appearance.
I agree, but
he's
there's
about
an
a foot
asterisk
taller
there.
Than Wolverine really is.
there's an asterisk there with, I like Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, don't get me wrong. But, the Wolverine that I know is the short, scruffy looking, not as attractive as Hugh Jackman looking guy. You know what I mean? I mean, it's
which
the
is
killer.
Part of his appeal. Which is part of his appeal. I think, I will say the studio made a bit of a mistake by making a very bad name model type dude Wolverine, because part of what makes Wolverine Wolverine is he looks like a runt. In fact, that's his nickname from his half-brother his whole life, Runt.
Runt,
yes.
Yeah.
He looks like a runt. He's not anything to look at, and yet he's one of the most dangerous men alive. Yep. That's part of
yes.
the appeal. They missed that. But again, outside of the physical appearance, Hugh Jackman did a really good job.
I mean, if you think about it, though, when they cast the rest of that movie, the dude they cast as Sabretooth was completely wrong. Think about it that way.
He was a fucking wrestler.
Yeah. Which is fine.
It's fine.
Think about how well Dave Bautista is doing with Drax.
Right.
So.
Absolutely. You're right.
So I would never say just because it's a wrestler. It's just the way that they created the character as kind of an unintelligible menace. That's not Sabretooth. Sabretooth is incredibly cunning.
Extremely intelligent.
You know, he's second in hunting and tracking somebody down, second only to Wolverine.
Right. One of the few people to consistently put Wolverine down. I mean, it's a storyline in their character story arc.
And he refuses to kill him.
Consistently on his birthday, he kills him. As his birthday present, happy birthday, nigga. You did.
I'm coming to give you the business. You want to, party, enjoy yourself, have a good time? Fuck that. I'm blowing this all up. Now, granted, there are times when Wolverine gives him the business and send him home with his leg between his tail. His tail between his legs. I've been drinking, y'all. Don't worry about that. But it's fine. but still. So take the casting. With that same grain of salt, it took them 13 years before they got Wolverine close to right so Hugh Jackman could play it.
Right.
He got one film to do it well. To do it right. So guess what, man? I can't hate on Hugh Jackman. And I understand what you're saying about Robert Downey Jr. I feel like Robert Downey Jr. still had to do some things to become Tony Stark.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And I agree. Right. I'm kind of playing devil's advocate here. There are other guys to me that
you don't always have to. Sometimes you disagree, motherfucker.
Well, I think the phrase is this, Robert Downey Jr. embodies Tony Stark. Ryan Reynolds
is Deadpool. I agree. Yep.
This is a state
of that's a good way to put it. Yeah.
No. And just allow me to put my problematic Bay hat on one more time.
There we go.
The argument that Damon makes about Dave Bautista being a wrestler, how good he was in Drax, how good he is as Drax, is the same argument I want to make for Wonder Woman. People said, you're not going to find somebody that's the phenotypical ideal of Wonder Woman who can also act. There's 7 billion people on the planet. Pretty much 90% of those people want to be actors. You could have found them if you really wanted to.
You're not. It's funny. You're not wrong. And it's funny.
Oh, I know I'm not wrong.
we're lobbing the hate on the one thing that DC's doing right too, which is just kind of funny.
No, I know. But Wonder Woman holds a special place in my heart. You know what I mean? And so it bothers me that they casted this twig as Wonder Woman.
Yeah, I you're not wrong. I know.
Yeah, Gal Gadot's problematic as well.
You know who would have been a good Wonder Woman? And I think I've seen this before. Haley Atwell, the girl that played Peggy Carter.
Man, why don't you stop right there? Don't let's not get into that. We're not doing that today, Scott. Thanks. So I give it 8. It's a good film. Go check it out. Enjoy yourself. So next up, Tone. Are we going to get into Before I Wake?
Absolutely.
Set it up.
Well, Before I Wake, it could have been a Guillermo del Toro flick. It really could have. And in some ways it is. But basically what we're doing is we're looking at a child who's been orphaned. And he's now in foster care, trying to be adopted. And he meets this wonderful couple. I think it's Kate Bosworth, Lois Lane from, Superman Returns. And a very haggard looking Thomas Jane. Like,
yep.
I don't know what's going on with home dude, but I'm worried for him. We're a long ways from Hung.
Yo, you're a long way from the Punisher. You're a long way from a whole bunch of shit.
Man, I don't. He needs to stop acting in these Netflix films, because between this and 1922, I'm seriously worried about this brother's health.
Yeah, like, he's an Ofer. He's an Ofer.
Yeah, very haggard looking Thomas Jane. And they adopt this young child only to find out that he is. I don't even know why I'm talking around this shit. I'm gonna spoil the shit out of this. Sorry, folks. So. The little kid is phenomenal. Like, he has the ability to bring his dreams to life. So when he sleeps, whatever he's dreaming about manifests. It's all fine and good till the little motherfucker has a nightmare. That's when shit gets real.
Shit go from butterflies, shiny scenes of the couple's dead child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and all then it becomes something completely different.
We go 0 to 100, nigga, real quick.
From the scene in the school, man, listen. Oh.
And then they throw a little bit of what was that? I want to say number 4 or number 5. They throw a little bit of a Nightmare on Elm Street number. Yeah, number 5.
Number 5. Yeah.
Where now he starts to dream when he's awake. Shit gets real complicated at that point.
Yeah, they stop following their own rules, but it's entertaining.
Yeah.
It's entertaining. Yeah.
It was, I gotta say, you know, it wasn't as scary as I thought it was going to be. So that's kind of a knock against it. I did like that they had complicated characters, though. The mother character, Kate Bosworth, she's complicated in a good way. She does some really fucked up shit in the movie, and then she kind of brings it full circle. And then she does one more really fucked up thing at the end. Even though she's kind of in a good light at that point.
Look, I thought you were spoiling the shit.
Okay, you're right. Okay. So at the end, she basically teaches the boy to a degree how to kind of, you know, channel his powers. Yeah. And she's teaching him, she's basically giving him the storyline of how they're going to narrate fixing all the mistakes that he's made. You know, he's killed a woman in one point on accident in his dream. He weaves a storyline to bring her back. He's messed up a couple of other people's lives. You know, he disappeared one little boy. Again, she weaves that into the story to bring him back. And then the boy has also killed her husband. In the course of her husband trying to save her life.
Yep.
So what she does is she brings her son back to life and brings her husband back to life and sets them up in some alternate universe, event, dimension, whatever, apart from them, while she continues to care for the boy single. And this is amongst a drop back of her husband and her having problems. It's like a magical divorce. Like, you're dead, but not really dead. It's really fucked up. And this is after she uses the boy, she manipulates the boy into dreaming about her dead son so that she can spend a couple of minutes with her dead son every night. Yeah, while her husband is telling her, this is abusive. You have to stop doing this shit.
Yeah, like, well, so she's
kind of a piece of shit.
She understood it much earlier than Thomas Jane did.
Way quicker.
She understood the enormity. She understood all of it super fast. But what I'll say is this. They take a really good look at the pain that lies within a couple who lose a child. The weight that lands on the relationship. How there's grief and guilt and blame that goes on, even if there really isn't blame.
Exactly.
They do a really good job of that. They explore that really well within the film. I enjoyed that aspect of it. I thought the scariest moments were really early in the film before it actually got, air quotes, scary. You know, where they kind of utilize, you know, things moving in the background. You know, they make you focus on what's happening right in front of you, but there's like some really good action in the background that's actually scary. But for the most part, man, you know, it's kind of, it would be run of the mill if not for Kate Bosworth. Her character is kind of the...
Her character is...
The Joker.
So deliciously here. Fucked up.
Yeah.
You know, it reminds me...
Go ahead.
And y'all gonna roast me for this. But it reminds me of a line I saw at that old movie. What was that? That old show, Burn Notice. When the dude was a spy and he did something crazy every other week.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know...
Wasn't Bruce Campbell in that?
Guys. Absolutely. The great. Yeah. The great. The one and only. But the main character, Michael Weston, you know, he has a handler in the CIA who's kind of recruited him ever since the Army. And he's talking to this character's mother. And she's trying to figure out, she has two boys. One of her boys is a fuck up. The other one's a super spy for the CIA. And she can't figure out what happened. And they come from a really fucked up household. Dad was drunk and beat their mom and the kids and all that. And he goes, you know, look, if you take a piece of glass, you throw it on the ground, it breaks. Some of those pieces turn into shards. They just shatter. They're useless. A couple of those pieces turn into something that you could use as a weapon. Michael's the piece that turned into something that you could use as a weapon. And then the implication is your other piece of shit, son, is just shards. Which was really fucked up for a USA comedy, but whatever. I got that feeling from this couple. The woman turned into something sharp and dangerous and scary. And the father just sort of softened and weathered and turned into something else. It was, it was a wonderful recitation on what marriage, on the kind of the ugliness that a marriage could be in the right circumstances.
Yep. I agree. It was good. I don't know if it's great. I don't know if it's... I don't know.
Oh, no, it's not good. It's not a good film.
Yeah.
It's not.
Like, yeah,
they don't follow their own rules.
Nope.
Like
they make rules and break them really early.
At all.
Yep.
Like
all the shit that we talk about and we judge films on. If you're gonna make a set of rules, you got to follow them throughout. And you want the character to make common sense decisions. Like this is not common sense. This is let me take emotion played out with zero practicality as far as it can go.
There you go. You know, and it's funny, there's a character in the movie, the kid's previous foster father, who says something so real to Kate Bosworth that it actually pulled me out of the goddamn movie. It was too real. Like, she's like, you know, she's on this crusade. I'm going to save this kid. I'm going to teach him. I'm going to raise him. It's going to be okay. And he was like, are you willing to bet your life that an 8-year-old child will never have another nightmare again? It pulled me way out of the movie. I was like, yeah, you're right.
Right.
Fuck it, kill him. Like,
right.
I don't do that with
him. Right.
I don't feel that way, but really, it was too real for the movie.
Are you willing to bet that a motherfucking nuclear bomb that you've already pressed the button on will never go off for the rest of your life? No, you're not willing to make that bet. So guess what you're going to do?
Exactly.
That little motherfucker got to go.
Exactly. It was just too goddamn real, man.
All right, so did we give slashes on this?
We have not.
Well, let's do those so we can get into Scott's rant.
Shall I do the first?
Yeah, start. Go ahead.
Me?
Yeah.
Okay. God damn it, man. I got to give it a – I was going to give it a D. I'm going to give it a D minus. It gets 5.5 slashes out of 10 for me.
I think I'm going to go 5. I'm in between 4.5 and 5. I didn't like this shit.
You always have to undercut people.
You're motherfucking right. Didn't we just have this conversation, Scott? I'm stingy with motherfucking slashes. I'm stingy, bitch. They're my slashes. You don't deserve them. Fuck that. You got to earn these motherfuckers, man. 5 push-ups right now, goddammit. No. Yeah, still 5. Fuck that. 4.5. Get out of here. Don't watch this shit. Skip this one, y'all. Like, if you're a Kate Bosworth fan because you like the two-tone color of her eyes, watch the first 5 minutes. Turn this bitch off. It's not a good film. Don't waste your time.
No. This is another one of those cases. We said it before, folks. We do this so that you don't have to.
True indeed. Skip this one. So getting out of that shit, Scott, I know there was some shit that you were really looking forward to on the Horror Horizon that I think you have a bone to pick with.
Ah, yeah. Okay, so I've mentioned this movie on here a few times. There's a movie I've been looking forward to for a long time. I'm a big fan of the Expendables.
As you should be. You're an American, goddammit.
I grew up watching those guys movies when I was a kid. My dad really loved those movies, and my brother and I watched the Stallone and the Schwarzenegger and the Willis and the Van Damme and we watched all those movies with my dad. And when that movie came out, it's not perfect, but I enjoyed it for what it was. It was cool to me to see Stallone interacting with guys that I didn't watch really until the 90s and 2000s, like Statham and Jet Li, and seeing Dolph Lundgren mix it up with those guys too. It was just kind of a cool thing for me to see, and I really enjoyed that movie. Unfortunately, Expendables 2 and 3 weren't very good, in my opinion, but I...
You shut really your commie mouth, sir. Those movies are American classics.
Okay, all right.
Look, that commie mouth shit, good every time. Continue on.
So the reason I bring that up is there's a movie I've been looking forward to that has been billed as The Expendables of Horror, and it's called Death House. And it's a movie I've mentioned before. I've been excited about it before. Again, it's a movie that even the setup with, when you hear Expendables of Horror, you think, oh man, they're going to have this person, this person, this person. I mean, their list is good. It's not great or it's not perfect, but they have a good amount of people that are signed up for this movie.
But the original list was that.
Yeah, yes, it was. So that here, I'll get to that. So that's part of the issue here, because and the issue is ultimately this. I've been following this movie's release since they started filming it. And their Facebook page update when they were actually filming the movie, they were updating the thing left and right. I mean, the background or the behind the scenes stuff was fantastic for fans who were able to see what they were doing and follow the production and see everybody that was in the movie and, you know, catch things that they've since kind of kept hidden from promotion in order to kind of have all these surprises and whatnot. This was like 2 years ago. It might have been actually 3 years ago when this started up. Now we're in 2018, and this indie film, for some reason, the producers still want to push a theatrical release on this thing. Now, look, I want to see it. I'll pay money to go see it. But I'm the fan that you're trying. You don't have to sell me on this movie. Here's a movie that has... This is a movie that has no one marketable in it. I mean, the two stars of the movie are people that horror fans may not even recognize. The list doesn't even include this. And this goes back to what Damon was saying. There's no Robert Englund in this thing. There's no Bruce Campbell in this thing.
That's the first thing I was looking at. It can't be the Expendables without Stallone. It's not the Expendables without Robert Englund. It's not happening.
And that's exactly right. And, you know, like I said, the list they got, it's all right. They got Tony Todd. They got Kane Hodder. They got Sid Haig. They got Barbara Crampton. And they got, what's her name? I always draw a blank on the mom from Cujo and E.T.
That's still pretty strong, though.
Yeah, Dee Wallace. Thank you. They've got a pretty good list. But there's nobody really marketable. You want to release this. They've been pushing a theatrical release. Like I said, I've been following this thing on Facebook for a long time. And every time that they announce something, they pull the date back. You know, it was supposed to come out at the end of last year. Then it was supposed to come out at the beginning of this year. Well, then they pushed it because of Black Panther making so much money and taking up more screens. Look, I get that to a degree, but wouldn't that kind of force your hand at maybe releasing this thing streaming? This is 2018. Indie horror movies aren't fucking making money like they think they're going to make, regardless of how well you think it is. Of course, the studio is going to think, we got a great movie here. We got to push it to as many people. They're releasing this shit like one city at a time. One fucking city at a time.
Meanwhile, Netflix just gave Adam Sandler a like crazy fat production deal to make a couple of movies for them. There's no reason why they couldn't have just put this on Netflix.
That's exactly my point. And it's to the point now. I'm a fan simply because I want to see the movie. Like, if it comes theatrically around here, man, I think I'm just gonna wait for it to hit Netflix. I mean, I'm ready for the movie to hit. Fans want to see it. You want the word of mouth to develop. If you want this thing to be a franchise, which they want this movie to spawn sequels, I think the budget has been estimated at like $1 or $2 million. It's a low budget horror movie. I mean, you know, relatively speaking, obviously. But it's only made like less than $15,000.
Oh.
It
would have made more than that VOD.
I know. You're absolutely right. It would have made more than that VOD. Shit, it would have made more than that if they released it and people bought it on DVD. I mean, people would buy it. Like, the fans who want to see it would support it. And now they're just kind of, they're still rolling it out one fucking city at a time. You know,
if they had just gone to the horror cons to set up a booth and sold it there, they would have made more than they're making right now.
Yes, like, clearly, exactly right.
There's some really bad decisions being made here.
Well, they've always played this as if it's bigger than the horror conventions. They've always played it as if this film was the film that would break horror out of its current kind of state. Like, we're taking all these noticeable people and we're giving you this great film. But realistically, motherfuckers don't remember Barbara Crampton like that. No one's really rocking with her like that. Kane Hodder, only horror people know who that dude is.
Right.
Exactly. And let's keep it real, though. Horror movies experiencing a renaissance due to this Blumhouse shit.
Right.
The state's not that bad.
Right.
And this movie is literally exactly for the convention crowd.
It is.
Yes. It's
fan service. This is fan service on $1 million scale. That's all it is.
And they're not servicing the fans by keeping the shit on the back burner.
Yeah.
And it's made it challenging for me to be supportive of it because of this. And whereas once I was like, yeah, man, I can't wait to go see it, throw some money at it to go check it out in the theater. Because when they first announced it, I think it was going to get 40 or 50 cities, you know, probably one or two screens in each city, whatever. That's fine. That's enough to get people to go out. And then you release it a couple months later on VOD and streaming. I mean, it just makes sense to do it. And that's what they were going to do. And then, so for some reason, they pulled it back, and now they're on this slow fucking rollout. They have on their Facebook, they've been promoting, we want 200 fans to like this page in order to get it in certain cities. Look, you're not going to get 200 fans to like it in fucking Cincinnati or even fucking Boston. I mean, I'm just being honest. Like, I'm not trying to shit on the movie, but you're not going to garner enough to get this thing theatrically rolled out like they want. It's just not going to happen. I mean, it's hard enough. And one of the funny things that I noticed, I think their Facebook page has 10,000 likes or something like that, which is pretty good for an indie film. But the fake page for Wrong Turn 7 has more than double the likes of that.
You know why? Because those Wrong Turn motherfuckers just keep putting out content, good, bad, or what have you.
Exactly.
Every 2-3 years, it's another Wrong Turn. You're like, wait a minute, these motherfuckers is on Wrong Turn 33? Fuck it, I'll give it a whirl.
There's a lesson to be learned. The first movie in 2018, if you want it to be a franchise, yeah, you're going to probably have to lose some money. But if the word of mouth builds, if the fans like it, if the movie's good, you will be able to make another movie eventually. It won't be right away. You might not get the money for it. You might have to raise it yourself. But you will continue to do it. The way this movie's being rolled out now, it will never see a sequel. It will never get any money. Nobody's going to throw money at a movie that made fucking $15,000 and took 3 years to roll the fuck out to the fans. I just don't understand why they're doing this and why they think they have gold. This is another honest thing. I've been following this movie for a while. I went down to Louisville to see the trailer premiere at a horror convention. It was a cool panel. They had the director there. They had a producer there. They had some of the stars there, and they showed the trailer. Now, the trailer is not very good. I mean, you guys can get on YouTube right now and see it. It's a cheap looking indie horror movie. I mean, that's what it is. I mean, those are the kind of movies that attract me. Those are the movies that have plots that look and sound way better than they end up being. It's hard to get a movie like that to be as good as you want because of budget, because of acting, because of cinematography. It's just not the money's not there to really support it the way that the writers intend. And the script, you know, a plot synopsis could be really awesome. But if that writer doesn't know how to write dialogue, or if they don't know how to write action, then the movie's just not going to deliver what you really want based on a one sheet describing what the movie's about. You know, the movie's about a prison, power going down on the prison, and all, like, the prisoners are going to be all these horror icons. And that sounds great. I mean, that's a cool way to give fans the service they want, but it hasn't happened. And it's starting to piss me the fuck off. I want to see the movie, and now I'm losing interest.
And if you lose Scott, like, seriously, like, I kind of feel like you are the quintessential indie horror supporter. You know, you would rather spend money and stock your house full of old comic books than go digital. You would rather spend that $5 on the indie film than for another beer. Like, you support indie horror. So if they're finding a way to lose you, I can't imagine how many motherfuckers are like, yeah, you can go hold on that shit.
That's what I'm. There are people who, you know, I might have a closet with stuff like that. There are people that have rooms and their houses and shit dedicated to this, and they're the fans that really want to see this.
Joy,
and shout out to Carl, by the way. Told me.
It's funny. You said Carl, I said Joy. And Joy is not. She's not gonna be upset that I shout her out, because she has all the shit, man. Like, I've never been to her crib, but whenever she buys some new shit, she'll tell me, and I'm always just like, man, you need some kids in your life. all that shit you're buying.
Well, but those are the fans, though, that, I mean, they're the ones that are willing to go buy, you know, a DVD in 2018. They're the ones that are willing to go buy.
That was the most beautiful unintentional shade I've ever seen. Yeah, like, I was sitting in the sun in a meadow with the wind blowing, and all of a sudden it was dark as midnight.
Yeah. Wait, hold on a minute. I didn't mean it as shade. I'm the person.
I know you didn't.
I know you didn't. Yeah, beautiful. Seriously, that's why it's unintentional.
Look, it's just disappointing. You know what I mean? Ultimately, it's, you know, I could say, fuck this, fuck that. And, you know, if it comes to Cincinnati, maybe I will go see it. It's just, it's getting to the point, though, that if you haven't learned your lesson now, when are you going to learn your lesson? You know what I mean? I mean, these are guys that, you know, the director has gone on, and he hasn't done it for a few months now, but he used to go on and defend why the trailer looked the way it did, or why the movie was taking as long as it did. And if you have to be that defensive before anybody actually sees the movie, what do you think that means?
That movie,
you know what I mean?
Trash.
And so that brings me to this. So there are reviews of people who have come out, and a lot of the reviews that are positive are a lot of indie horror site reviewers. And you would expect them to be the ones to like this movie. And then you see the reviews that, and Facebook, there are people that get on there too. And any negative comments, they fucking take them down right away on this Facebook page. I know, I follow it, I see it. And bad reviews get taken down right away. And there are people that go and say, there's a reason why this shit's not out yet. And I'm like, see, that's not good. If that is the reason why, people are going to know soon enough. And maybe that is it. Maybe that's why they're a little nervous. Maybe they know that it's not that great. But, you know, put it out there, make some money back. I mean, at least make some money back. Now you're going to lose some money by waiting all this time. And it's just a shame. It's just a shame.
That's unfortunate, man.
It is. I mean, it, because it's, you know, at the end of the day, it might not even be a movie I love. I mean, I'll see it. I mean, remember how, I mean, I always point back to when we were talking about that Smiley movie, and I was looking forward to that. And then I went to go see it. Man, that shit was fucking garbage. And, you know, maybe this movie is going to be the same way. I don't know, but give it a shot. Smiley got a theatrical release in Cincinnati.
It did. It made more money than I think any of us expected it to make.
Right. Because they put it out as soon as they could to as many theaters as they could without being bitches about it.
They had Keith David in it. I mean, come on.
That's true.
If I remember correctly, we were surprised that shit even got theatrical release.
Oh, I think we were very surprised.
It made the last minute theatrical release.
Yeah, because I want to say we didn't expect that to happen.
No, I don't. It was supposed to be like, it was supposed to go VOD, and then like the week before they announced it was getting a small release, but the small release was like, I think it was like 50 cities around the country were getting a, you know, like a one or like a 2-day showing of Smiley. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. I mean, that they even were able to manage that. And, you know, it's just now it's easier to get stuff like that, at least to a small theater in maybe more cities. And for some reason, the studio's not doing that for this Death House movie. And, you know, maybe they have their own reasons. Maybe the movie sucks, or maybe they just are holding out for it to be, you know, get to a point where they can release it to more theaters. I don't know. I don't care. I just want to see it, and they need to stop being bitches.
Wow. Okay. Well,
I'm trying to look up some the stats for this for that Smiley out of curiosity, but I'm having trouble.
That's not on purpose or anything. So yeah, who knows?
So yeah, if and when that ever comes out, then you know, I'll give a review.
All right. Well, Tone, was there something you wanted to talk about?
Yeah. You know what's funny? I have a complicated relationship with the subject matter. I watched the series The Mist on Netflix. You guys know, I do the Netflix shit. Ooh, all right. So it's from the short story The Mist, written by Stephen King, in which due to some government military experiment, this mist overtakes a northeastern town, and it brings about prehistoric animals and whatnot.
Insects and all kinds of shit.
Insects. Not only insects, but like, you know, not brontosaurus, because that wasn't really a thing, but like a stegosauruses and pterodactyls.
Also Thomas Jane, by the way.
Yes, and the original in the movie, yes. All kinds of things. And people are trapped in, you know, this mist, so they have to stay indoors to stay out of it. The mist has all these other properties. It distorts light, sound, and all this other stuff, but that's basically the gist of it. It ends in the book, it ends open-endedly, where we don't know what happens to the protagonist. He leaves a letter in a hotel, and he's like, yo, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm still looking for my folks. Heaven help me. In the movie, it ends
terribly
with a...
I'm not we're not going to talk about it. We're not going to spoil it.
Okay. We won't do this again.
Yeah, we won't spoil that, but trust me, if the ending of that motherfucking movie, ooh,
is fantastic. Fantastic.
I loved it. Ooh, I loved it. We won't have that argument, because we had that argument when it came out. We won't do that again.
That
because I remember that argument.
So real.
It ends, folks. It ends differently in the movie.
Yep.
And it's a really good pull the rug out from underneath you, in my opinion. A lot of people, to be fair to Damon's point, a lot of people hated it. I loved it.
Wait. There are people who hated the ending of that?
Yeah, they felt super strongly about that.
You, Scott, you and I are in the minority. That's okay. Huh. I've lived in a minority my whole life. I'm comfortable here.
No, motherfuckers feel like really, really strongly about that ending. Like they feel like, you know.
Yeah, no, people are angry about that. I guarantee you there's somebody angry about that movie right now.
Yep.
Huh. That's weird. I just assumed that that was one of the universally liked surprise endings that.
Oh, fuck was no. Out. Fuck huh. No. They hated it. They hated it. So it ends differently in the movie again. But again, the basic structure of the story is the same. Government experiment brings about prehistoric monsters. We don't know if it's time travel or genetic engineering or dimensional shifts or whatever, but that's what happens. And it's a series episode, 8-episode arc on Netflix. I think Damon hit me to the fact that it was a sci-fi joint that didn't make it, and I understand why now. It takes a huge departure from the original source material. Huge. The cause and the effects of the mist are vastly different. It does not follow its own rules, which is to get out the room, double X, whammy, no, like you cannot do that shit. Doesn't follow its own rules at all. They basically use the mist as a device for character development. And in that regard, it is a really good character study. I can say that. It's a really good character study. That's a really good study of, like, you know, how, you know, this is something that The Walking Dead explores, and on lots of other shows and movies I explored, how thin the veneer of civility and civilization is. Just how much it, you know, just how little, I should say, it takes for us to lose all that shit. You know what I mean? In that regard, it's good. In every other regard, it is not. Sort of reminds me of In Between, another Netflix series that made it like 2 seasons before they just said, no, we're not doing this no more. Sort of reminds me of In Between, but just with less likable characters. There's very few characters in this series that I liked. I can think of 3 out of a main character cast of about, I want to say about 7. There's 7 main characters. Maybe 8. 3 of them I like. Really 2.5, because for like half the movie, half the show.
Yo, this motherfucking list just keep getting shorter and shorter and shit. Yeah. You know, I like 10 of these motherfuckers. You know what? No, like 7.5. You know what? Look, I ain't like their mama. Hold on. You know what? I ain't fuck with none of these motherfucking Hutchinsons. All of these Hutchinsons got to go. You know what? Fuck the Johnsons too. The Thomases, the Smiths. The Turners, fuck all them. Nah, you know what? I don't like none of these motherfuckers. Nobody I like on this shit. Continue.
Yo, I'm just keeping it real. I gotta be me. yeah. So I can't. This is the bad position it puts me in. I can't say I can recommend it.
Yeah.
I really can't. But I myself am watching for the second season. Because it takes a really interesting turn in the last 2 episodes.
Okay.
That I want to see how it plays out.
Okay.
So I'm not going to put y'all in the position of having watched this bullshit. Again, we do this so y'all don't have to, but I'm going to watch it. At least the first few episodes of the next season, because I'm interested in where it's going. Now, if they betray my trust and they're just like, that was just some bullshit for the last few episodes, which a lot of shows do, then fuck them. But I'm checking for the next few episodes for sure.
All right. You know,
that being said, yeah. If I had to give it some slashes, it's getting a straight 4.
Ooh, that's pretty brutal. That's a tough watch, man. That is a tough watch. All right. So next up. While Tone was watching that, I was watching Super Dark Times.
Which I've not seen. So I'm interested.
Yeah, it was a really popular film, not necessarily in terms of a lot of motherfuckers seeing it, but within the horror community, a lot of people had talked about it. They talked it up, and, you know, they liked it. And I see why. It's a good film. It is not... So there's this thing recently where if there are kids in high school, they all talk about a coming-of-age story. This is not a fucking coming-of-age story. This shit just happens to happen to motherfuckers who are in high school. So, shit, there are bad things that happened. I'm not even going to spoil it for you. That's how much I like this shit.
Ooh.
And not necessarily because some of the pieces are done that well, because some of the pieces aren't done particularly well. There are moments in it where the writing is kind of leaden, and, you know, the actors and actresses, which are mostly children, don't have a ton to do. But I'll tell you, some shit happens, and kids have to deal with jealousy, anxiety, like the whole shit. They got to do a lot. They got to deal with a lot, all right? And the way this plays out in a final act is so crazy. I was really, really, like, to the point of, like, holy shit, this is where we're going now. And by the end of it, it's a choose-your-own-adventure. So, yeah, I recommend this one. It's about 7.5 for me. Super Dark Times.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, 7.5 for Damon. Man, this thing must be great.
It's not
great. It must be damn
good. It's not great. There are moments in the beginning a little harder to get through. So it's probably 7. I'll go 7.
Yeah. All right, yo.
The more y'all talk, I'm going to take all the slashes away. This shit going to be a 2.
All right, let's stop. Yo, before we go too far, there's 2 more things I want to talk about briefly. One, this is sort of like a – this is a hybrid mix, yo. This is Real Life Room, and it's Tone's Netflix gems.
Mm.
We gonna put this together. I saw this series called Evil Genius on Netflix.
Okay.
Based on a real story.
Robbery. That girl, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This shit was creepy and intriguing and good. And like any good thriller, you know what's going down the whole time, and you're just waiting on the characters to catch up to where you're at. Really well done. I enjoyed the fuck out of this. Highly recommend. And again, real life shit, real scary. Watch it for real. It's good. You'll enjoy it.
That's cool, man.
Hmm.
And then I wanted us all to talk about some of the previews that we saw in Deadpool. Because some of them were quite interesting.
The Purge, man. The first Purge.
Here we go. That's what I was. There you go. Attaboy, Scott. That's what I was waiting for.
It looks good. It looks really good.
And I just want to point out again, You know, this is where I was going to say not to toot our own horn, but really, like, I'm blowing this motherfucker like the horn in Gabriel, like, to toot our own horn.
We told
these motherfuckers to play up the poverty, the race, the socioeconomical angle of this shit, and they did, and they keep doing it, and it looks fucking beautiful. Shout out to the side dick from Insecure.
Yep.
For popping up in a major movie. Good for him.
Yo, he got a leading role. And motherfucker looked like he ready for it too.
Yeah, with his Caesar looking ass. Right. You ever notice how much of a monkey that nigga looked like?
I would never ever call another black man a monkey, so no.
It's the jawline.
Look, I don't give a shit how many jawlines white folks is calling us monkeys and calls a whole bunch of shit by the thousands today. Fuck out of here. Not in Trump's America, motherfucker. You're not going to have me out here call another black man. And he dark? Absolutely not. And he got the bright white teeth? And he swole? Get the fuck out of here, motherfucker. You ain't going to have me out here calling a black man a monkey. You crazy.
Realize you just gave like half of the argument for what I was just saying, but it's all good.
Motherfucker,
no,
it's a subliminal. You fucking it up.
The brother's bone structure is Mad Simeon. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, you're wildin'. You're wildin'. If you ever see that motherfucker in the streets, that's all I'm saying. I bet you won't say that shit. I bet you won't say that shit in the street.
Oh, for sure. I'm not worried about it.
No doubt. Okay. Wow. I can dig it. This is taking a motherfucking turn. I love it.
You're none of that. But it just plot wise, it's exactly what I want from them. It looks great. I can't wait to see it. Cannot wait.
Okay. All right. So the first Purge, was anybody up for Hereditary?
Hereditary.
Refresh my memory. I'm not sure I saw that one. You know, so they do it based on.
So Hereditary is the new Toni Collette horror that is apparently incredibly scary. I want to say it comes out June, like the second week in June, maybe? Like June 8th, I believe? June, you know, you can get the midnight June 7th. So it goes nationwide June 8th.
When Ellen, the matriarch of the Graham family, passes away, her daughter's family begins to unravel cryptic and increasingly terrifying secrets about their ancestry.
Yeah.
The more they discover, the more they find themselves trying to outrun the sinister fate they seem to have inherited.
Yep. Yep.
This is interesting.
Trust me.
Toni Collette's got a face built for horror, too. Like,
it's got currently 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. 29 reviews.
Holy shit.
No, apparently this thing is the truth. Scary and fucking well done.
Mm. Okay. We got Gabriel Byrne in it. The devil. Yep.
The director's a new, looks like a new name too, or somebody I don't recognize.
Between that, like Toni Collette, you know, say whatever you want to say about her physically, that's an acting young lady, man. She can act her ass off. After United States of Terror, like I don't really question her too much.
So, I would quibble with you over the phrase "young lady," but. She is definitely an actor. There
you go with that shit, man. I'm
just saying, like, you know, there are these things called numbers.
Motherfucker, and, we have seven, if we're lucky, female listeners. Are you trying to keep that shit below five?
Yo, she's not young. This is a statement of fact. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. She's a great actress, though. A great actor. I dig her. But she's not young. Nigga, I'm not young. It's all good.
You stay trying to cut our motherfucking fan base. God damn.
I totally love the ladies. I love ladies. Yeah,
that's why your ass is named Problematic Bay, motherfucker.
Well, there you go. There you go. I think that's fair. That's fair.
Constantly problematic. Did the Wasp, the Ant-Man and Wasp, come out before that one for y'all?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. That looks good too.
It looks good. Michael Pena's in it. Michael Pena's really good in that. So I'm actually pretty good.
Know who I got a problem with in this movie, right?
Oh, you don't like Kate from Lost because she was in Lost.
You could have said Evangeline Lilly, but I see what you're doing right now.
I see
you raise my blood pressure.
You're problematic.
Grab my statins, and it's all good though. It's
you're problematic. Good. I know what you're thinking.
I cannot stand her. I don't.
You don't like Evangeline Lilly?
I want her house. I just not.
Hey, you fucked her couch too?
Yeah, no, her whole house. A pox on her house, son. A pox on her house, son.
You're wildin'. I like Evangeline Lilly. I thought she was really good in Ant-Man.
I actually liked Ant-Man. And I'm actually liking Ant-Man and the Wasp against my better judgment. Like, the It Takes Two song and the trailer, like all of it, the feel of it. Michael Douglas, you know, was as wonderful as always. Paul Rudd's never really been my thing, but like he works in this. Like I'm feeling it. Like I think they got me.
I find it strange if somebody's anti Paul Rudd. Like I don't feel like he's ever done anything to engender negative feelings. I feel like
I'm not anti Paul Rudd. Feel like Paul Rudd is like the sour cream of movies. It's like if he's there, it's okay, but I don't really need him either.
So it's milk or toast. It's fucking milk or toast.
Yeah, yeah. There's been a few exceptions. For the most part, you don't need him in anything.
Yeah, I said milk or toast. You're absolutely right, Scott. I said that shit. Yeah.
No. It's just that's hilarious. Your guys' last couple conversations have been really funny. I don't know if I could laugh at this or.
You can always laugh.
For the love of God, please laugh.
We're here for the jokes.
But I don't know. This is really kind of winning me over, despite how I typically would feel. So I think I'm gonna go ahead and give this a shot. I'm actually looking forward to it.
Cool. All right. Yeah. What else was in front of your trailer? Or I'm sorry. What other trailers are in front of your movie?
Oh, The Predator.
Yep.
That looks. I don't know how to feel about that yet because I'm a huge Alien and Predator fan, and Alien Covenant was really disappointing.
Yes, it was.
So. I'm judging Predator by that, and that's not fair, but I also feel like part of me feels like the movie looks okay, and then the other part's like, man, I don't know if this looks good or if it looks like complete trash.
That Olivia Munn casting is what worried me.
The what now?
Olivia Munn.
Well, so the story is, I guess the group of badasses in this is played by, and I'm rattling it off on the top of my head here, because I was just reading about this the other day, like this morning, maybe even yesterday. Boyd Holbrook is the star. He's the guy. He was the villain in Logan. And then the dude the oldest main character from Moonlight. That guy is in it too. And then Key from Key and Peele.
Talking about Mahershala Ali or whatever the hell his name is.
No, not Mahershala. The dude that played the kid in the third act.
Yes, the third act guy. The oldest version of the main character.
Yeah, the swolest motherfucker alive.
He kind of looks like, well, he looks like 50 Cent. Ironically, 50 Cent was first cast and this guy replaced him.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah,
I don't think that was ironic at all. I think that was very intentional.
Yeah.
They obviously had a type they were looking for.
Yeah, if not him, your boy who's in The Purge.
There you go. Caesar.
It's got Jacob Tremblay in it. It's got Sterling K. Brown. It's got...
God damn, you ain't shit. I'll just
call him Porgy and Bess.
Tony's boy's in it, too. Your boy Thomas Jane is in it, too, man.
Damn it.
Thomas, get your shit together.
Keegan-Michael Key.
Theon Greyjoy's in it, too.
Wow. Alfie.
Damn.
Alfie's in it. And Keegan-Michael Key is also there.
You know what?
Sterling K. Brown for the win.
Saw him in the movie, it just, he looked so out of place. I was like, nah.
Now it is, Shane Black is making it, though. So, I don't know. That could be a good thing.
That's either going to be really good or really bad.
Really
good. Because he doesn't do anything in between.
Yeah.
Well, Iron Man 3 was really bad, but Nice Guys was really good.
It was weird because if you look at the trailer, it said from the people that brought you Iron Man 3. And I'm like, that's not something you want to be publishing.
Yeah, that is not something you want to highlight. Yeah, I agree. They should have done the people that brought you the Nice Guys.
I thought that was weird, man.
Yeah, I agree.
You know what? But people like Iron Man 3. Like, there's a podcast I listen to. We all know them. I'm not going to mention the name. Yada, 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 yada. They really liked Iron Man 3, and they really liked the thing of him spending 90% of the film outside of the suit, which was my main issue with Iron Man 3.
I think that was everyone's issue. It's called Iron Man.
Give a fuck about Tony Stark's internal drama. Let me see that play out in his battles. I want to see the nigga in the suit.
Well, the fact that fucking Pepper is the one who saves everybody, man, get the fuck out of here. Get the fuck. Yeah. I ain't gonna get. I'm not going.
Oh my gosh,
terrible.
That's one of the most laughable scenes in movies.
Movies, laughable movies.
Ugh. Yeah, no, it was absolutely terrible.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that.
Yeah. Shit.
But
they really just need to make a
Sicario 2. Sicario 2.
Now that one, that shit looks crucial.
Yeah, it does. It really does. It makes me want to go walk back and watch the first one again. I only watched it once, and that was tight.
I watched Sicario once. I didn't watch it in depth, but I didn't see Sicario 2 in my theater. I didn't see that.
Okay.
No.
What else was in front of yours?
I got The Purge. I got everything that you guys talked about so far. The Purge, Predator. And then I got...
Incredibles, I'm sure.
No, I did not get The Incredibles.
Yeah, I didn't see The Incredibles before, but I have seen the trailer. That looks pretty good.
I have seen the trailer. I didn't get it in front of this movie. I got one more horror flick that I can't remember what the hell it was.
Was it The Nun?
But you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of
Was Cooties. It The Nun? Oh, no.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Wait, there's a trailer for that already?
Yeah.
Is there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Which sounded interesting. And it reminded me of Cooties, which I still haven't seen. What the fuck happened to Cooties?
I saw it.
You know they're doing a third Annabelle movie?
Well, the Annabelle creation is quite good.
Is it
quite good?
Because I remember I saw what was it? You know they kind of they unveil her in The Conjuring.
Yep.
And everybody got super excited. They want to know more about Annabelle, so they have Annabelle. And then there's a second one that I did not like Annabelle. Y'all go back and listen to that. We talked about it. I didn't like it at all.
The first movie's boring, bland, but Annabelle Creation is a completely different film made by completely different people who I feel like understood the usage of angles, lighting, jump scares, background, foreground super well. Annabelle Creation is a good film.
All right, where do I tell the people where to get it? And by the people, I mean me.
I have not seen Annabelle 1, 1 or 2.
Skip 1. Number two.
Skip one.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Dude. Number two was on like Cinemax. It was on like Movie Channel. Like that's where I caught it. But I'm sure
I had heard that's good. Isn't that kind of weird that some of these random horror movie sequels, like I think the Ouija sequel is supposed to be pretty good.
Yeah, Ouija's not bad. The first Ouija's not bad. Ouija.
And then there was another one too. There was another sequel that was supposed to be really good. Like I remember seeing reviews for the Ouija 2 and it being good and like it got really good reviews and I was just surprised.
Yeah, it's a good film. Well, I shouldn't say good. It's not bad. I think Annabelle Creation is better than Ouija. But Ouija has some good shit in there. The effects with the little girl, the way that motherfuckers start going out, I wasn't upset.
Yeah, third Annabelle movie, and they're doing a movie on the Crooked Man from the Conjuring 2 as well.
Okay. So, well, I mean, the Nun came from the Conjuring
2. Refresh my memory. Was the Crooked Man in the Conjuring?
Yeah,
he was in... I think he was the mixed, the guy from the painting in number two. I think.
No, the Crooked Man is the guy from
the tent?
The little turnaround tent.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yep.
You're like, you spin it around and he comes walking out, that guy.
All right.
I mean, I think they're milking this thing for all it's worth here.
Well, we talked about this. The idea was you got to find a way to get the two characters from The Conjuring outside of full Conjuring movies. This is that.
Yeah, but they're not in Annabelle, are they?
No, they're not.
And they're not going to be in the villain, I assume.
Yo, and Michael J. White's in the Crooked Man.
Yeah.
Snapple. Yeah.
Yeah, I think everybody likes Michael Jai White. Just, you know,
the problem is, you have to.
You can't really ask him to do too much acting. So if there's no kung fuing happening, I'm worried about that.
No, leave him alone. But again, you know, Bruce Lee, you know, didn't speak the greatest English, but he had charisma and he could kick ass.
Yeah,
that's all I need from him. Be charismatic and kick ass. That's all I'm asking.
Yeah, I bet you won't say that shit to his face. Like, that's how good those motherfuckers are with the real hands. You know what I mean?
I wouldn't. Are you kidding me? I wouldn't even think a crooked thing in front of Jermichael. Are you? Nah.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right.
He'll break you down. He'll break you down. It'd be a wrap. But, yeah.
I got to say is, like, hey, man, I love Gin Spawns. And that's it. I'm going to keep moving.
Hopefully this motherfucker not want them extended breaks. We got time today. What did you like about it? Tell me.
Man, you were good. The action scenes were tight.
Right. You know, you be kicking motherfuckers' asses, man. I like that shit. I love the way you really be breaking the white boy's arms. It's great. Like, you know, you get on some real racist.
You know, actually,
shit.
I did really like the way he was breaking the white boy's arms. So, like, that's real.
So dumb. But yeah, man, before we get too much further, let's let everybody know that next weekend Solo is coming out. So, again, the box office fitting to be full.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's really it.
Now, are you guys, since you brought it up, are you either of you looking forward to that at all?
I'm looking forward to watching Lando Calrissian.
Bam. Bam.
That's it, man.
Hey, Donald Glover has more talent in his finger than a lot of people do, a lot of families
do. It's true.
I mean, the dude just keeps, I'll be honest, of the trailers, and the trailers have gotten better as I've watched them for the movie, but that scene in the trailers of him going, like, everything you've heard about me is true. I was like, that's fucking Donald Glover and Lando wrapped up in that character right there.
Look, there was a story about how he met with Billy Dee when he first got cast.
Can't wait. Yeah, tell him.
And he was saying, he was just, you know, he's going over all this stuff. He's like, I got these ideas. You know, I want to do this with the character. You know, I think he would really resonate if he came from here. And Billy Dee stopped him and was like, ho. Just be charming. And I was like, God damn. That's a cold-blooded motherfucker. You know, you sit up here trying to go through your acting process. He's like, I ain't do none of that shit. Just be charming. So that was the advice Billy Dee Williams gave him. So we'll see if that resonates, man.
Yeah.
Well, from what I've seen of the trailer so far, it definitely resonates. And of course, you know, Glover's charm is a different kind of charm than Billy Dee's charm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Billy Dee had the panties charm.
He's got a much more ladies man type of charm. He's a smooth cat. Again, don't let the smooth taste fool you.
Exactly.
Like, that's Billy Dee.
Yeah, that Cole 45.
Donald Glover's got sort of like an intelligent psychopath type of charm in this flick.
Damn it. Not an intelligent psychopath. I was thinking more of the intelligent weird black guy. He's you know what I mean? He's like the smart middle class black kid. Like that swag, you know, like
that's him in Atlanta. From what I've seen in Solo,
yeah, but I feel like that permeates through everything that Donald does, though. Like the idea guy that nobody wanted in high school, but realistically, as a person later on in life, though, you're like, yeah, that's what I want.
Yeah, that's him. That's Donald Glover. That's not so. Of course, you get a little bit of that in every role he plays. I feel a pinch of charmed sinister coming through in his role of Calrissian. Which if you study the books, if you've read the books, if you know who he is, that makes sense. I mean, motherfucker was kind of a tough ass dude, you know?
Yeah, by the
not
time
not because he was the biggest dude, the strongest dude, but because he was ruthless when he had to be.
Yeah, but by the time we got to him in Cloud City, he was
looking. He had mellowed a bit.
Yeah, he was looking for retirement. He was looking for something to kick back on.
Yeah, but
so we're catching him in the middle of all of his hijinks now.
Yeah, no, he was a thug. You know, he was what we call it, a charming sociopath. The dude was something else.
Yeah.
And frankly, you could probably characterize Han Solo as that as well.
Oh, you definitely characterize Han Solo.
You know, his story just ended differently.
Well, Han never changed, though.
No, Han never changed, but his circumstances did.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
You like, know, but it, like, let's Lando, say he never crosses paths.
We're getting deep in the weeds right now, but Han and Lando are really two sides of the same coin. They're the same dude.
Yeah, which is why they were both superly attracted to Leia. But if Han doesn't get Leia, he doesn't go straight.
Exactly. 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 Butterfly effect.
Yeah, like he never goes on straight and narrow. And Lando was like, well, look, motherfucker, the Empire checks be clearing and fast in the motherfucker. So that's what we finna do. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Scott, are you looking forward to Solo?
Not particularly. I may not even see it this weekend, to be honest with you. I may wait for the following week on that on a cheap day when the theaters do $5 tickets. I don't know.
If it wasn't for Lando, I wouldn't be checking for Solo either. I don't feel that the character that's playing Solo.
I don't want to know. On one hand, with Star Wars, I think the reason that Force Awakens worked so well was we had a 35-year gap between good movies. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm not counting the prequels. Fuck the prequels. But we had a 35-year gap between good Star Wars movies, and that's part of the reason why Force Awakens resonated. It also helped that we got a mix of the old with the new, and then Rogue One hit, and Rogue One was pretty good as well. And then we got Last Jedi, and Last Jedi I thought was pretty good as well. But each one, in my opinion, has gotten a little less interesting to me. And this one just I don't really. I like Han Solo. I don't love Han Solo. I don't. I'm not really super interested to know how he did his Kessel run or how he met Chewbacca. I think that's part of the mystery of a smuggler type character like he was. I don't think you need to dive into every little detail of all of these characters. I mean, there's rumors now we're going to get an Obi-Wan movie with Ewan McGregor again. I don't want to see one of those, or a Boba Fett movie. Now, see, that sounds interesting to me, even though at the same time, I'm like, I don't want to know more about him. That's what makes that character cool. You don't know anything about him.
Kind of one of the things that makes Han Solo cool, too?
Yep.
Do you really want to know more about him?
Because realistically, they have to show the Kessel run.
They have to.
Oh, yes.
You're going to do a Han Solo solo film. You got to show it.
So let's say, but from now on, like, that piece of history, that piece of background information is either tainted or ruined if we find out, A, the Kessel run never happened, B, it didn't happen the way Han said it did, or C, something else entirely. It's just, it's a bad idea. I don't like it.
Yeah. What's that test that Kirk took? The Koba Maru, Komamashi Maru, something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Y'all remember that?
No.
It's kind of like that. Like, I don't need to see that. I just need to know it was an unpassable test that he passed.
Right.
And then, you know, in the reiteration of it, they show that he passed it because he cheated.
Yeah.
and sure, they cover that in Star Trek or Wrath of Khan, too, a little bit. But, like, it takes something away from that. You know what I mean?
It does. Yeah, it does. Yes, you're right. And Disney has the unique opportunity here where they, and I'm glad that they announced that they're going to look in other facets of this galaxy, of the Star Wars galaxy, which I think is an important thing to do. We don't need to do Skywalker stories in every single movie. You know what I mean? This is an entire galaxy of characters, and we're focused on one, you know, one part of it, one single little piece. And, you know, you can have other races of aliens pop up in that, in another movie, and, you know, spaceships fly by and whatever, but you can focus on other things. You know, I mean, instead of going back and getting another Han Solo story or stuff, you know, exploring these characters that we really already know about. Do we really want to see an Obi-Wan Kenobi origin movie? I don't mean that at all. Yeah, I don't want to see that either. I mean, I'm more interested in how about exploring things that we know nothing about, or, you know, even a little bit more. I mean, how about the early days of the Jedi, or if you really want to go into stuff that we haven't seen or heard of yet. I mean, the TV shows, the animated TV shows, from what little I've seen, are really good. I mean, they explore things that are interesting. And
Clone Wars is pretty dope. I would love to see them explore Yoda. That would be interesting.
Because I think to this day, no one knows what race he is. I think to this day, they've never covered what race Yoda is.
I've never seen anything like him in the Star Wars universe.
Maybe they're all extinct.
Looks nothing.
Maybe they're extinct except for him. I mean, he's 900 years old. Maybe they're gone.
Or maybe that's
an interesting like thing to explore. Yeah.
He looked like something else, and just his extensive use of the Force changed him. Hey, we might find out that motherfucker is a Jar Jar Binks.
See, you know, I agree.
Before that, like, I shouldn't even have said that. I'm sorry. Like, that was rude. Wrong. Just. Mm-hmm. Damn.
Exploring.
Nope. I'm leaving that shit in. I want all the scorn to be directed towards you. Fake William Cat. Y'all know where to find him. I'll say this, though. There are some really exciting stories that could be explored within the Star Wars universe. The Thrawn trilogy is, you know, one of the best written ones. There's still a little piece, there's still a little connection. It's not as...
The tradition of the Grey Jedi, which is a whole separate thing we've not covered yet, which it seems like...
That's too much.
Luke Skywalker is really leaning on right now.
Yeah, like, but you're going a little far. Let's reel it back.
I mean, because
if you think of Thrawn is pretty much very easily accessible. You know what I mean? This is an Empire general, and, you know, it's a well-contained story that, if told well, could be fantastic.
Absolutely.
I'd love to see that. I don't believe we currently need a Solo movie, but I'm also, you know, they print money out here, so it don't matter. Don't matter what
you think. I'm not against it. I gotta be on again, and I hate to belabor the point, but I don't know why they casted this actor as Han Solo. Like, nothing about him says Han Solo to me.
From what I heard, he's not the problem. Not his physicality.
Nothing. Like,
from everything I've heard, he's not the problem. The idea that the movie itself probably shouldn't have been made is much more the issue. Like, if you're a Star Wars fan, you're gonna enjoy this film, but, you know, you're gonna be like, why did this shit need to be made?
That's how I feel now.
I remember Harrison Ford as Han Solo, and I remember him not having swag so much as him just having, like, him just not giving a fuck. Like, I remember Han Solo is the captain of no fucks given. Like, the motherfucker just has no fucks. He hasn't had a fuck since 1974. Like, he has no fucks. He does what he has to do when he has to do it in the way he has to do it, and that's it. He's got no fucks. And Harrison Ford has played him like that consistently from the fucking jump. This cat seems like he's trying too hard. Like, I just feel like something's off. That he don't look like the Han Solo, and I'm not just talking about his physicality. I mean, like, the way he carries the character. He don't seem like Han Solo to me.
I can't argue with you. I haven't seen it, so I don't know.
Off the trailers too, so
yeah,
it could be totally different in the movie. But what I've seen, That don't seem like no fucks giving Han Solo to me.
I mean, look, the dude that they cast ran to the producers like, this shit is too funny. These motherfuckers got too many jokes. This ain't really who Han Solo is. So, I mean, the kid may have an idea of who Han really is. So, I don't know. I mean, y'all heard that too, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
And I think it's true. Honestly. Han Solo ain't I mean, he's throwaway funny. He says the shit that he says, like, all his shit is, like, all his humor is ironic. It's funny because...
There's a lot of one-liners, though. My mother got a lot of one-liners.
Yeah, it's throwing, he got non-sequiturs. And again, that's rooted in the fact that he just doesn't give a fuck. He says what the fuck he wants to say. He does what the fuck he wants to do. Like, he makes it work. He gives a fuck about his ship, him, and Chewie to a lesser extent. He does love Chewie. That's pretty much the fuck it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He don't care about making jokes. He ain't trying to make you laugh. He's not trying to charm your ass. He's just trying to cash his credits.
I feel like there is an aspect of him being charming that this particular actor has leaned on more so than we considered. Now, we don't know how that plays out because we haven't seen it yet. But I believe that that's part of his direction. He wants to be charming.
See, now I look at it a different way. I feel that Han Solo is charming, and that is what has enabled him to get away with the shit that he's gotten away with. I don't feel like
he
wants to be charming or he aims to be charming. This actor, and I'm not saying it's the actor, and honestly, I don't even know if it's the actor, but the direction, the writing, or whatever, it seems as if this character is trying to be charming. Han Solo don't try. It's not him.
We're going to find out soon, man. I agree.
Yeah, real talk. I mean, I'm going to be there. I'm talking all this shit. I'm still going to be there.
Yeah. Exactly.
And that's all Mickey needs to worry about. He knows my ass is going to be in the seat. He ain't worried about my opinion. He worried about my dollars, and he got them.
Solo coming out, going to clean up, for Deadpool. They got to get their money. But I think there's a pretty good audience that is still willing to see both. So
absolutely. Deadpool's not going to suffer. It's going to be just fine. Especially.
Yeah, I think so.
Anybody know the budget on this joint on Deadpool 2?
I don't.
Hold on. Let me do the stats real quick. Hold on.
This is where we're missing Carl right now.
Exactly. He'd have had that shit. Statman would have had that shit ready.
Oh, he'd have had it.
Let's do. Budget 110. It's already made 312.
The budget is 110. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money, man. I'm legitimately surprised the budget was 110. Jeez.
Original Deadpool was 58. So this is double the budget. You know where some of that money went? They could have saved some money if they wouldn't have had fucking Colossus in full armor the whole goddamn movie.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, they could have just cast the kid that played him in the other X-Men movies. I thought he was pretty much right on.
Yeah, we could have.
For just the human part.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bought that.
Well, we could have been at a budget of
hold on a minute. He needs to be Russian. He needs to be Russian.
That's true. Not Canadian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably what it was, too. They were like, we got this voice actor who's really good, but he may not be like camera ready, so to speak.
At all.
And we can't blend a different face with the voice. I'm about to look up who the voice actor is. I guarantee you this motherfucker's ugly. Let's find out.
Some good hate.
No, I'm not. Yo, that's just real talk. Because there's no reason why they wouldn't actually have him in here unless he was ugly. Oh, it's been voiced by several different dudes. Stefan Kapcsik.
Stefan, that's it. That's the guy. Stefan Kapcsik or whatever his name is. That's him.
Nah, this motherfucker looks like... Nah. Nope, this motherfucker looks like Colossus. Yeah, they fucked up. They should have just cast this dude. He's not big like Colossus. He looks kind of slim. Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, but that would work even better in a Deadpool movie. I mean, they could even comment that he is slim before turning into Colossus in a Deadpool movie.
True.
I'm just saying they could have had it. And you know what? They could. They just could have put him on that weight program. They could have given him a couple shots in the booty.
Speaking of that, let's switch gears here. I'll tell you a movie that DC's swinging and missing on.
Here we go.
That Shazam movie looks like trash.
Oh, man, that Zachary Levy movie, looks like absolute balls and skedaddle. What in the fuck are they doing? The suit with the muscles built in.
They should have went with the original, dude. The original idea was to have The Rock as Black Adam.
Yeah.
Do it like superhero big. Everybody was super excited to hear that, and we all wanted to see it. And then they just pulled the plug on that joint. Like, I don't know why these studios do that shit. They had a good story by people who had a good pedigree. They had good actors involved, and they just pissed all that away.
Yep.
Because they try to hold true to this Zack Snyder view of the DC universe. And here's the thing. Yeah, sure. You can call the DC universe darker. That's fine. Okay, cool. But that's not fucking Shazam. Like, he literally is the fucking antidote to that.
Yeah.
You know, there's a fabulous scene in Justice League Unlimited where, Superman is, like, giving the business to fucking Captain Marvel. And everybody's sticking up for Captain Marvel. And he turns to Batman, who in this iteration of the universe is his best friend. He's like, dude, why were you sticking up for him? He's like, the people like him. We think he's Sonny. And Superman says, you used to call me Sonny. And Batman just gives him that side eye like, yeah, nigga. We ain't in our 20s no more. Like,
stupid, man.
Shazam is like, he's the antidote to this dark-ass universe. They need to play that up instead of muting it.
Well, we're going to find out. So, I'd love to see where this is going to go. I think it's going to be poor, but we're going to pay our money, so they got us already. And we're going to go find out.
Dude, if it's four, I'll be surprised. I got to be honest. I have no hope for this film.
Yeah,
I don't feel like they have the tenor or the... I don't feel like they got the tenor or the soul of this character down at all.
Yeah, I feel like this is going to be Green Lantern
really
part
good
two.
Cast. Yeah, they pissed away really good. Oh, shout out to the post-credit scene in Deadpool 2.
Yep. Shit was great.
And that's where I'm going to leave that.
Excellent
really
job.
Good.
Excellent
really
job.
Well, like, seriously,
yeah,
my hands
superb.
Off to you.
My focus is clapping in the theater.
Oh, man. I screamed out loud in the theater. Like, it was so good.
Yeah, I thought that shit was great.
In bringing it back to Shazam, I don't think that they have the soul of this character down at all. I don't have high hopes.
Yeah, we'll see. But yeah, I think that's about it. Let's get on out of here, man. Scott, if you were to ever be on any type of social media, where can people find you?
Phenom Pyrus at Phenom Pyrus Twitter.
All right. Tone.
Y'all can catch me at Fake William Cat on Twitter. I'm not tweeting that much these days, but I'm going to pick it back up. Of course, you can catch us on the Facebook page. Get Out the Room. I post quite a bit there. I'll be hipping y'all to some stuff I talk about in advance, some stuff I don't talk about on the podcast. So definitely something you should look at. We got some good content on there, y'all.
There you go. Y'all know me, DA021, and also I generally run the Get Out the Room Twitter account. We are Get Out the Room. You can find us anywhere good podcasts are found: iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Listenopoly, Wicked Radio Network, the whole shebangabangabangabitch. And until next time, we gonna see y'all later.
Late.